Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on danger to the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say, fuck them. That's straight from Mike.
That was straight from Mike P. From us, and hello there. What are you up to? I heard you had a burning Are you there?
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I have.
I heard you had a burning desire.
Yes, besides my broken pinky toe. Anyhow. What I'd like to reinforce again is how to inform people what to do when they get pulled over. Why? Now, this is why I've saw the scene for the first time in my own two eyes. Now, we've talked about this on and off numerous times throughout the show in regards to when you get pulled over, why does an officer feel by the back taillight on the vehicle? Doesn't matter if it's SUV, a car, what, you know, they do that. And when I saw it, I was like, I can't believe I just seen this. And it, reinforcing why they do it, you know, if it's warm. Well, guess what? It was 98 degrees here, so the vehicle is going to be warm, besides the fact that it was hot, okay. But it just amazes me why they do this. Does it matter? Does it really matter to feel if the vehicle is warm or cold?
Yeah, because they're just they're conducting an investigation, so they're gonna. That's the shit they were taught in the academy.
Like I said, I never would have seen this if I didn't see somebody getting pulled over. And I just stood there in amazement and thought, wow, check this out. And I thought, I got to call Phil. But like I said, it was just amazing. Like I said, it's not that I wouldn't have believed it happened. You know, I just physically never saw it until over the weekend. And I was just amazed. I mean, you know, it wasn't but maybe a few minutes of a pullover, okay? So obviously the guy got a warning, but or a person. But like I said, in regards to, you know, touching a vehicle, it's like, okay, they don't want you touching their vehicle, but what, you know, they were trained to touch other people's vehicles. And even a couple of times when I was pulled over years ago, okay, something minute, you know, but it was enough for them to, okay, well, maybe she just needs to be pulled over, make sure things are okay. They didn't touch my car.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was a state trooper, didn't touch my car at all. So, you know, it was like... That's why I didn't understand when we had talked way long ago in regards to, you know, feeling the vehicle.
Uh-huh.
So, like I said, that was just, it was crazy. I'm sorry. You know, there's other things to do. And I, you know, I see a lot of people getting pulled over, but that was the first time I saw the feeling of the vehicle.
Yeah.
Maybe he was a rookie.
Maybe.
Because there's veterans I've seen that have been out for 20 years and they don't touch vehicles.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I can't answer
that. We got young guys here in town that they touch all kinds of vehicles and girls.
Yeah, that's pretty disgusting.
I got pictures of them talking to them on the street, but they say they never do it.
Well, that's just like here. You see their squad cars in motel parking lots, but they're not there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, you know, whatever. You know, it is what it is. You know, like I said, it's just amazing. The things that I've witnessed within the past couple of days was just enough to, wow, you know?
Uh-huh.
Okay. New subject. In regards to, can we address RICO?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Do you know what the definition of RICO is?
No. And again, before we start on the definition, just real quick, it's not that I'm dumb, but I've never been arrested or anything, so I don't know what RICO is. I've heard of it a little tiny bit, but I don't know everything about RICO.
Uh-huh.
So if we can address that, that would be cool.
All right. Let me address that. The Racketeering Influence and Corruption Organizations, the Act, RICO Law, and the Legal Definition. This is the legal definition from U.S. United States Legal. Okay? Got that? The Racketeering Influence and Corruption Organizations Act, RICO, is a federal law allowing the federal government to place in trusteeship organizations which are convicted of being dominated by racketeers or organized crime. A person injured as a result of a RICO violation can recover treble damages and reasonable attorney's fees. In order to prove a RICO violation, the person must be able to show that he or she was injured by a person associated with an enterprise that is engaging in a pattern of racketeering, which consists of at least two predicate acts during a 10-year period. The list of predicate acts includes securities fraud, mail fraud, and wire fraud, but does not include commodity fraud. In some circumstances, however, conduct involving future transactions may constitute mail fraud or wire fraud. The legal requirements for proving RICO violation are complex and vary from circuit to circuit. A conspirator must intend to further an endeavor which, if completed, would satisfy all the elements of substantive RICO offense, but it suffices that he adopt the goal of furthering or facilitating the RICO endeavor. He may do so in any number of ways short of agreeing to undertake all the acts necessary for the crime's completion. One can be a conspirator or agreeing to facilitate only some of the acts leading to substantive offenses. It makes no difference that the substantive offense under subsection C requires two or more predicate acts. A predicate act could be making a phone call, sending a letter, going by somebody's work to intimidate them, all kinds of shit, man.
Okay, now, I know they have different areas of RICO. Am I correct on that? Or they have different definitions in regards to RICO?
They have all kinds of stuff. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Is that you, Stacey?
But of course. I'm here.
Hi, Mama.
Listening. Hey, what's going on?
I didn't sign into a chat, so hi, Art. Whoever's there, hello. Big red star. Okay, sorry.
Very, very interesting subject, the RICO Act. Oh my my. What exactly to say there? It's to me, the way I normally interpret it is it's just a lot of mumbo jumbo that they can pretty much slap on anybody. Am I correct?
Correct.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that they put into law and they stretched and stretched and stretched. And it's just super stretched at this point. And it seems like if they can't find nothing better else to get you with, they'll slap you with that. Because that way you can sit happily and content behind bars for whenever, whatever, however, whoever, you know, comes into play.
Do you know what the guidelines are?
I know it's tax evasion. I know it's, I think, is it guns and racketeering and all that?
Okay.
Pretty much. Or, you know, I mean, it's a large spectrum, but like every time you see the RICO Act, like in newspapers or on the news, it usually involves the racketeering, the tax evasion, you know, those are the normal things that the general public hears about, you know, but it's a good conversation because I think the general public also needs to be aware of everything else that you can get, you know, under the act.
On October 15th, 1970, the Organized Crime Control Act of 1970 became a law. Title 9 of the act is the Racketeer Influence and Corruption Organization Statute, 18 United States Code 1961-1968, commonly referred to as the RICO Statute. The purpose of the RICO Statute is the elimination of the infiltration of organized crime and racketeering into legitimate organizations operating in interstate commerce. However, the statute is sufficiently broad to encompass all illegal activities relating to any enterprise affecting interstate or foreign commerce. Provides the Attorney General may designate. See, this is where it gets tricky because they did some shit with the Patriot Act and they made it. They went further. So if me, you, and Nora were standing on the corner, you committed a felony 5 years ago. Nora did 3 years ago, and I'm Snow White clean.
Guilty by association, right?
And we're now a criminal enterprise.
That's where I think it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You know, they take in an act which I guess they thought was justifiable and of a worthy cause. And like I said before, I have just stretched it beyond its means. And, you know, and then the Patriot Act, too. And it leads to a lot of different other things that, in my eyes, technically shouldn't be applied to that act.
Attorney General may designate any department or agency to conduct investigations authorized by the RICO statute. Now, like I just said, there's three of us standing on the corner. Two are convicted felons. One guy squeaky clean. But now you became a criminal enterprise. So that cop drives, he's the three of us. He goes back to the station. Hey, Sarge, I saw these three guys. I see them all the time. I see them always together. And I think they're up to no good. That's how it starts.
And don't people, I mean, okay, excluding, you know, mafia officials, okay, because that's usually who they, on the news, tag that with. But what I don't understand is people that get, quote, unquote, locked up under that act.
Because the way it's written, and the guide, I can tell you the guidelines right now, but the way it's written, is the decision to institute a federal criminal prosecution involves balancing society's interest in the effective law enforcement against the consequences for the accused. So in other words, whatever they feel, okay, despite the broad statutory construed to effectuate its remedial purpose, it is the policy of the criminal division that RICO be selectively and uniformly used. It is the purpose of these guidelines to make it clear that not every proposed RICO charge that meets technical requirements of a RICO violation will be approved. So basically, it's a blanket law that they can arrest you under and hold you for 72 hours until they figure out how they're going to fuck you.
Well, that's the point I was like trying to get at. You know, how many people technically have been locked up under this act and weren't doing much of nothing? You know, I mean, like you said, I could have had an arrest 3 years ago. You could have had an arrest 5 years ago. Nora didn't have an arrest at all. And, you know, let's say all of us just been minding our business since the incidences. They can still have grounds to lock you up.
Hey, what incident? I wasn't there. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, of course I would say that too, but, you know, I mean, that's what I'm getting at. You know, there's many people who have come into a few problems, and, you know, they take care of their stuff.
Well,
under the
RICO criminal division, okay, will not approve imaginative prosecutions under RICO, which are far afield from the congressional purpose of the RICO statute. That's Robert Kennedy fucking wrote that one, and then they put it in 1970. A RICO count which merely duplicates the element of proof of traditional Hobbs Act, the Travel Act, mail fraud, wire fraud, gambling, or controlled substances cases will not be approved unless it serves some special RICO purpose. Only in exceptional circumstances would the approval be granted when RICO is sought merely to serve some evidentiary purpose. Okay? That's what I was telling you. They can arrest you under that and then throw the blanket over it and hope something comes up. Because like Bill was telling you guys last week, RICO is fucked. And if you talked to somebody 3 months ago and all you said was hello, and that person says your name, you're going to be investigated. You're going to be hauled in to fucking get questioned.
Yeah, see, that's where I think some fine lines really need to be addressed with that, because I'm curious to know, you know, how many people have actually been locked up and charged with the RICO Act and really didn't do much of nothing, that were just kind of maybe associating with a person or being somewhere in the wrong time, you know? I mean, how many people are actually sitting behind bars and are doing a long bit of time under bullshit trumped up charges?
Okay.
You got any numbers? You got any numbers on that, Phil?
Yeah, but it's like Art says in here, the government used RICO against a club in California and in motorcycle rights organization contributions. They had to be handled carefully to avoid money laundering and RICO charges. It's just like a poker run. They can arrest you for gambling on a poker run under the RICO Act. So
right.
a lot of times now in California, you cannot put the words poker run.
Wow.
In your flyer.
Okay.
They will come and confiscate the money.
That blows my mind because, you know, most of that money goes for some type of better cause, whether it be for a sick child or a family member that has passed, or who knows, let's say a bigger organization that they just want to donate money to. And that's what burns in me. You get a bunch of people together that have worked for their money and are willing to give a little bit to someone less fortunate or someone who's sick and really needs that help, and here comes the government, you know, crashing in. Those should be almost like done as a gift type deal. This is a gift from me
charity
to you, to help you.
Yeah,
exactly. And, you know, these type of runs have been, you know, called poker runs for God knows how long, a long time. And it's just, it's crap. And, you know, the government makes enough money off of other enterprises than to be, you know, badasses crashing in on a bunch of people just trying to do something good for something else. And
it
burns in me.
The authorization of the RICO prosecution, there's a review process, okay? So basically, when they figure all this shit out, there's usually two or three, like, I can tell you from experience, we were notified on a Tuesday. They showed up on the following Thursday and Friday and Tuesday, and the following Saturday, I talked to an investigator and a DA.
Jesus, so they just show up wherever you're at, or...
Bill told you they showed up at his... Didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
They showed up at his house and twice at the shop.
So basically they just show up when and where they want at wherever they want.
Yep, because they can telephone prior to the time of investigation is undertaken, and well before a final indictment and prosecution memorandum are submitted for review. So they can fuck with you right away. Guidance on preparing and the RICO prosecution memorandum. It's in the criminal. They got a criminal resource manual.
Okay, may I say one thing?
Now,
sure. In regards with the RICO, okay, can they use that on you if you've never had a record ever?
Yeah, because that's where guilty by association comes in. What he just said, you could be hanging out with the two of us, and we could be convicted felons maybe 10 years ago, and if you know, something strikes a bug in their ass and they're investigating stuff, yeah, they're going to drag your ass in. Yeah.
I don't get that. I mean, if you're not doing anything wrong, and I'm sorry, I'm not being, like, again, I'm not being stupid, but why use a RICO Act on something that is passed, you're not currently or presently doing anything, but then you have a friend that's never had ever any legal problems. How can they do that and get away with it?
How can they do three-quarters of the things they do and get away with it? You know what I'm saying?
True. No, I know what you're saying. I mean, there's a guy that I grew up with, okay? And he was talking today in regards to the drones. And because he's just realizing for the first time that they're out there. I said, where have you been? You know, I said, they come in different sizes. They're everywhere. I said, they can be as small as, you know, like a dragonfly and right outside your home. The privacy is gone.
That's funny because my nephew Jake, give a shout out to Jake, I hope he's listening, approached me the other day, and it was funny. He's like, Auntie Stacy, he's like, I know you know a lot of things, and I started laughing. I'm like, what do you need to know, son? And he's like, is it true? Do they have drones the size of bugs? I said, absolutely. I said, the size of dragonflies. I'm like, they can be right outside your window and you don't know it. And he's a young teenager, you know. And he said, I tried to tell my friends that, and they didn't want to believe me. I said, I'm like, do your research and present them with some, you know, hardcore facts. I'm like, but yeah, I said, it's absolutely true, and it was funny hearing it come from him, you know, but
right. It's,
you know, they're out there, and, you know, they're looking for any little thing to, I guess, serve their cause or purpose, whatever.
Like I said, I'm sorry, I just don't understand why things go the way it does. Whether if you have a record or not, if it's passed, it's passed. You're done. You did your time. Move on. Why do they have to keep harassing people when they're doing good? And, you know, what about the ones that are consistently doing wrong every single day that they're not really seriously chasing around to grab? You know what I mean? I find it ridiculous.
Here's how it works, okay? Let me finish this before I say anything, all right? RICO reviews are handled on a first-in, first-out basis. Accordingly, the submitting attorney, that's the district attorney or the city attorney, whoever, the attorney general, whoever it is, sufficient lead time to permit review, revision, conferences, and the scheduling of the grand jury. Unless there is a backlog, 15 working days is usually sufficient. The review process will not be dispensed because a grand jury, which is about to expire, has been scheduled to meet to return a RICO indictment. Therefore, submitting attorneys are cautioned to budget their time and to wait receipt of approval before scheduling the presentation of the indictment to the grand jury. Modifications in the indictment are required. They must be made by the submitting attorney before the indictment is returned by the grand jury. Once the modifications have been made and the indictment has been returned, a copy of the indictment filed with the clerk of the court shall be forwarded to organized crime and gang section. If, however, it is determined that the RICO count is inappropriate, the submitting attorney will be advised of the section's disapproval of the proposed indictment. The submitting attorney may wish to redraft the indictment based upon the section's review and submit a revised indictment and or prosecution memorandum at a later date. Okay? This was updated in May 2011. but it also got updated after the first of the year, after December 31st, when Obama signed the NDAA. The guideline policy for RICO is to centralize the RICO review and its policy implementation functions in a section of the criminal division having supervisory responsibility for the statute. Considerations prior to seeking indictment are, number one, RICO is necessary to ensure the indictment adequately reflects the nature and extent of the criminal conduct involved in a way that prosecution only the underlying charges would not. A RICO prosecution would provide the basis for an appropriate sentence under all circumstances of the case in any way the prosecution on the underlying charges would not. A RICO charge could combine related offenses which would otherwise have to be prosecuted separately in different jurisdictions. So when we know of people that get arrested and people that we know and you see 7 or 8 or 9, 10, 15, 20 charges, there was a thing that happened in South Carolina a couple weeks ago. 30 people were indicted under 15 charges. So they muddied the waters. And then by the time everything gets to just before it goes to court, they're going to start making plea deals. And like Bill said, Until you're in that chair, I don't care how fucking big bad you think you are, until you're handcuffed in that chair, you're going to think.
Yep. But if you're smart, you're not going to say anything and leave it in the hands of your lawyer. You know, because I myself personally have been dragged in, handcuffed to a steel metal table, and read the Riot Act up one side and down the other. And I just kept laughing and looking at them and saying, not saying anything. I'm like, I want a lawyer. I want my day in court. And that's it. And that pissed them off more than anything else. But it wasn't on this large scale of, you know, the RICO Act. But anything you say, you know, you're not a lawyer. You don't know the laws in and out, every little squeaky loophole, et cetera. And if that's not your line of business, you put it in the hands of somebody who knows what they're doing, and you just shut the hell up. And that's the way I view things.
And I agree with you on that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Right here. Now, I'm holding in my hand my attorney. His first name is Ashby. He's an attorney at law. He gave me this card, and I handed him out to everybody. The back of his card says, this is what, when they stop me and I ask them what I was stopped for and they start fucking with me, I give them this card when I hand them my driver's license, my registration, and my proof of insurance. And I put this on top, upside down, what I'm going to read to you right now. Please take notice that I do not waive and hereby invoke my rights under the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. I object to any search of any kind whatsoever. I will not consent to a search of my person, things, car, or home, depending on what I'm in or on. I choose to remain silent and will not say anything without my lawyer. I will not answer any questions or provide any explanations until I have spoken with my lawyer. I will not talk about my case with anyone other than my lawyer. Make this card a part of your report concerning this contact. So of the 59 contact cards I've had filled out since the first of this year, and 79 last year, I went through a lot of these cards.
But it's, you know, it's the truth. You got a very good attorney there to be handing you, you know, stuff like that, that, you know, he basically is telling you, should the shit hit the fan, hand him this, and we'll talk later date, you know. But the thing is that more people should be made aware of this. More people should be made aware that they're going to use every tactic known to mankind to make you, you know, practically shit your pants. But people need to know, they need to just shut up and ask for a lawyer. If they don't have money for a lawyer, the court has to appoint them a lawyer, you know,
right.
And at least get the ball rolling, you know. But you have to shut up, because it's amazing how they can turn words around or trip it over into left field when it belongs in right, or turn around and tell you, you know, if you just cooperate with us, you only get probation, a slap on the hand. Bullshit. You know, you just shut up, and that's it.
Right.
Well, that's like Nora.
What about Nora?
We didn't tell her to shut up. She just shut up. Nora.
Yes.
Okay. What are Bill's favorite two words? What are Bill's favorite two words?
Shut up.
Shut up.
Okay. Never say that enough.
Well, let me tell you something. I've been in situations where I was asked things and I just said, I have no idea.
Oh, I got so aggravated one time because they didn't understand, you know, I'm not saying anything. I want a lawyer, yada, yada, yada. That I turned around and looked at one of the detectives and I said, look, I'm like, here's layman's terms. I'm old school. I'm not saying shit. You might as well put me back in the can until I speak with a lawyer. And he pretty much after that, I'd say about 30 seconds later, they put me back in the the cell. But, you know, I mean, it is what it is. If you open up your mouth, you're going to sink your ship, you know. If you keep your mouth shut, your ship's going to stay afloat for a little while, depending, you know, and that it doesn't make a difference how the seas are, whether they're rough or calm or full of shit, you know. You keep your mouth shut. You know, my father, I grew up and my father always told me, he's like, you got to remember, the mouth is the worst enemy. I'm like, and I never understood that as a kid. But as an adult, I definitely understand it because your mouth can get you in more trouble than you know what to do with.
You know, people know how smart you are. Don't know how smart you are until you open your mouth.
Exactly, that's true too.
Mhm. I don't care. I don't care. Like Bill says, and I say, shut up. Because basically, what you say is going to be used against you, period.
Yep, absolutely. Every little bit of it.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead, Norm.
No, I mean, like I said, I appreciate it because, you know, like I said, I wouldn't know unless I ask. You know,
uh-huh.
And like I said, I always look at the fact that you don't look stupid on asking. The worst case scenario, somebody's got to say no or I have no idea, you know.
There's no such thing as a stupid question.
Exactly. And so that's why I wanted to address this last week, but we just didn't have time. And my phone went dead. So, but like I said, you know, that's why I figured we would do it, you know, tonight, if that was fine. Which it was.
Yeah,
Thank you.
And like, the better part of society, okay, your standard middle class, if, you know, what's left of them, the typical mom and pop that go to work 40, 50 hours a week, have a little home in the suburbs, et cetera, they see the RICO Act on TV or in the newspapers, and they're totally oblivious that that one little act could apply to them. They think
right.
that it applies to all these, you know, big gangsters and Al Capone type officials, you know. And the common public just does not realize that the whole guilty by association, who you know, who you hang out with, et cetera, that, you know, it could apply to them. And, you know, they've never done anything wrong a day in their life, you know.
Right.
And people just, you know, again, awareness. People need to be made aware of what's going on in this country and what people are letting just, you know, slide around and are tolerating. And, you know, government says, you know, zero tolerance on this, that, and the other. But we, the people who our ancestors have fought for the rights to be here, you know, we don't need to tolerate such crap neither. You know, people need to stand up and you know, fight for our rights. And it doesn't have to be with violence and all this other baloney. You know, it basically, you know, one side talks to the other, however you want to do it, whether it's by
right.
voting or whatever, you know. But the more and more that people are kept secluded in the suburbs, or so to say, and don't understand the in-depth to this one act, you know, here we come again with I don't know, is it ignorance or is it just we turn a blind eye? But as long as we continue to be ignorant and continue to turn blind eyes, you know, more and more people are going to get pinned with this stuff. And
right.
Again, now, it's wrong.
Well, I will say this. I'm not ignorant, and
right.
I haven't turned a blind eye. The only thing I always looked at is I was never in trouble. And the one time I was, as a teenager, it was like, if you've never been in trouble, you know, you don't pay attention. And why wouldn't you pay attention? Because you just think, not like the world is a rosy place, but it's like, why should you worry about knowing laws or anything if you've never been in trouble or if you've never been in jail? You
perfect
know?
Perfect example to what I was just saying, you know,
right.
People who just have led a good, you know, good, wholesome natured life. And like I said, they work, they mind their business, they go home, they
right.
cut their grass, they cook on the grill. You know, they're not aware that, you know, it can apply to them. You know, like Phil said, you know, we could all run into one another on the corner. You know, this wholesome suburban family, let's say the dad ran into a friend he hadn't seen in X amount of years, and all of a sudden, you know, they're storming his house because
right.
it can apply. And, you know, again, like I said, I firmly believe that more and more people need to be made aware. Of just how far this act can push things, you know, how long they can hold you for, how many years you could do possibly in jail. I mean, you know,
to me, it's ridiculous.
I don't understand under the Patriot Act now. They can pick you up and they don't have to tell anybody they got you. They can hold
exactly.
you indefinite.
That is ridiculous. I'm sorry. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yep, it's just, you know, they have taken these two acts and have just stretched them beyond their means, and basically saying that no matter what, you know, we're going to find something on you, and if we can't find something on you, we're going to find something from the past on you or whatever.
Right.
And it just it's ridiculous, you know. But a lot of
the only thing they were finding in my past was that I couldn't get my license until I was 18. Oh, boy.
And all that, the juvenile stuff is pretty much squashed anyways.
Well, yeah,
you know?
It's squashed as soon as you turn 18, as long as you don't have any current things waiting before you turn 18. So,
right.
you know, if they want to go back that far, well, fine. You know, I mean, when I tell people I'm squeaky clean, they don't realize until when I've been run, and it's like, oh my God, and I'm like, what? You know,
Mm-mm-mm.
I'm sorry, you know.
Hey, Phil.
Yes?
How's your skinny jeans? I've been dying to say that since Tuesday. How's the skinny pants, Phil?
From when you were pictured with the lady in pink with the big boobs.
No, wasn't it what Bill was saying, that, you know, Phil runs around in skinny jeans? Isn't that what he
yeah.
said or something on
yeah.
those lines?
Yeah.
No. What happened was somebody sent us some pictures. Ryan sent me some pictures of the models.
Yeah.
And basically some of them were wearing skinny jeans.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, we're still lost. We're lost in space. Who had the skinny jeans on, you or the girls?
The
no.
girls.
Okay.
The girls in the picture. And the guy, the
okay.
one, there was a guy in the picture. They had him on. Not me.
Okay.
Oh. If you guys, he was just breaking my balls.
Oh, I know that. That's why I'm enjoying doing it now. Because...
Right.
But wait a minute. Don't you have to have balls in order to break them?
Oh.
Well, so I'm not going there.
Hey, this is a get even for what he did to me last Wednesday. And wait until tomorrow.
Okay, here. Hold on.
What would you do if everyone you knew turned their back on you for something that wasn't true and point their fingers at you for something you didn't even do, something that didn't even have anything to do with you, when deep inside you always knew the hard, cold truth that the ones who claim to be your friends were never, ever really down with you till the end. But now you know just what is true. The bullshit and the lies you can see right through. Because the truth in their eyes speaks to the deepest part of you. Because deep inside you always knew that this facade ain't nothing new. That all the jealousy, hatred, and lies, that the truth about themselves is what they really despise. They dream your fall will help them to rise. But it's only the truth they really despise. Only shame on you for acting surprised. Because in the end, the truth will ultimately be their demise. Because their eyes are blinded by the darkness of their own lies. Ignorance and fear hides behind the guise of acting wise. But the truth can set you free. Because there is no justice and there is no peace. Accused by your peers, sentenced by your fears, condemnation beyond comprehension. Because there is no justice and there is no redemption.
Exactly.
I love hearing that. There's not ever a moment that I ever get sick of hearing all of those words, because
wow,
it's so true.
Yep.
I know.
Who was that?
That was the lead singer for Attica.
Attica 7.
Sorry.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
That was Evan Seinfeld from Biohazard. He's now the lead
singer. I'm sorry. I didn't know his name.
Want to hear something cool? Back in the late 80s, I was up at AmJam in Schenectady, New York, and Biohazard happened to be performing there. They were just, like, they were still like an underground type of band, just, you know, coming to the surface. Yeah, and they went around giving everybody autographs and stuff, and, you know, they performed some cool jams, but to, you know, to see this guy here with Attica 7, you know, that's kind of cool.
I know. Oh, it was amazing to see the band play and the show. But, like, because I never saw them together. You know, the only time I saw, like, videos was with their past singer.
Right.
But I never saw the new one, or the new singer until the Devil's Ride. Oh, my God, it was just amazing. And of course, you know, the guitar player is so darn huge. I'm like, holy crap. Mama, we would be like way midgets.
Way midgets?
Him. Yeah, way beyond midgets.
Are you talking about Rusty?
Yeah. Well, I'm only 5'2", and Stacy is here.
I'm 5'9".
Oh,
every
wow.
Every time I see Rusty and T-Rod or whoever else is there, and we take a picture, Rusty's exact words are, put the little guy in the middle.
I'm surprised he doesn't get a can of beer and put it on your head, Phil, and you can be the beer holder.
Or a table.
I remember years ago. If you go look on my blog, the one that says hanging out in front of Illusion Motorcycles, you'll see Rust, me, and T-Rod. And of course, the little guy is in the middle, and the shirt I'm wearing is Feel the Pain.
How appropriate.
Wow. Well, you know,
how tall is Rusty?
I think he's 6'10".
Oh, my God. He could have been an awesome New England Patriot. Oh, my God. I didn't think he was that tall. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I
well,
would love
when,
to put him on the defensive
when Bill,
line.
I remember when Bill was standing on, he stepped on the curb to talk to Rusty. And Rusty was still taller than Bill standing on the curb.
Wow.
And Bill is like 6-something, 6'2", 6'1", something like that.
He's one of them dudes that when he goes to lay down for the night, a foot and a half is still hanging off at the end of the bed.
Well, that was just as weird as last summer. I stood next to somebody that was 7 foot tall. I'm like, oh my God, it looked ridiculous being 5'2".
Yeah, it's like, you know, you come up to the person's waist.
I basically did. Oh, I do have to take a picture. I'll remind myself this week. I'll take a picture just for Phil and you to see. What the hell? I'll post that on my wall. Of me, I gotta have clothes on, but to put on a pair of those jeans.
You should put a pair of suspenders over them, Nora, so you can wear them up high and just have suspenders over the shoulders.
I don't have suspenders.
Like, oh,
I'd have
no.
to be like a redneck and take, like, twine.
Oh, my God. I'm not going to go there.
I know, neither. Okay. Let's get back to the show. Sorry.
So, Phil, what's on the agenda this week out by you?
Well, I have that the Dagle Peckerwood that took the cuts away from the Laughing Devils. His fundraiser is Saturday out in Santee off of Magnolia at Lacey J's or Lucy J's. I forget the name of the bar. But it's a fundraiser for him. He's going to be represented by my attorney.
Ah.
All right, cool.
Well, yeah. I got
the Capistrano Eagles. Their party is on Saturday at the same time. I got two dealers. I forget what they're having, but they I get anywhere from 40 to 50 invites a week.
Wow. You're quite the popular man.
Well, let's put it this way, Stacey. If ever you went out there, you would be one busy woman. You'd be keeping up with them. You'd have to get roller skates.
I don't know if I want to go out to California because you guys got way too many, like, little traffic detours and stuff where everybody's got to get pulled over. I don't know, you know. We don't have a lot of that going on in this neck of the woods.
Let me explain something to you, okay? And I'm going to put my business on the street here.
Oh, you got business?
Yeah, I got business. The other day, I work in San Diego, and I take the 5 North, 805. The 805 drops into the 5, okay? The carpool lane starts about 3 blocks before you can turn on to the 5, from the 5 to the 5 going north, where the 805 runs, ends, and turns into the 5. I go that way for the last 18 years, 348 days, 55 days a year. Okay? I split lanes. I ride the white line. And then the other day, this lady was on her phone, and she was yakking, and her phone was in her right hand, and she was yakking away. And she just crossed over to double yellow and moved me over to the other line.
Oh.
No, the Laughing Devils aren't real. Somebody asked a question here. They were a real club, but they're underground right now for reasons that everybody knows if you watch the show. But there's some other things in that. Their program was renewed for next season, so the last show they had got 3-point-something million viewers, so they renewed it. But to get back to saying, somebody asked a question, so I was just answering the question. But to get back to what I was saying is, she moved me all the way over to the other line. I didn't say nothing. Stacey, you've seen a picture of me on my bike. That's how I ride all the time. That's how I look on my bike.
Yeah.
Okay? Now.
Yep.
I waited. I dropped back about a car and a half, so about maybe 20, 25 feet. Okay? And I waited. Because the window was down. And as soon as that bitch put the phone in her left hand, I nailed it, I reached in, I grabbed that motherfucker, and I threw it in southbound traffic.
That's, you know, that's awesome because my daughter's little cousin, I told you.
Hey, let me finish. I'm not done yet. That was Tuesday. Okay. Thursday, about 10 o'clock, I'm coming off the ship and my phone rings. Officer Martinelli from the California Highway Patrol. Is this Mr. Philip, my last name? I said, yes. He said, this is Officer Martinelli from the California Highway Patrol. I said, okay. Can I help you? He said, I'd like to know if you were going down I-5 on Tuesday afternoon. I said, yes. I go that way. I've been going that way for the last 18 years. He said, well, it was reported that a guy in a black diner wearing a... I said, black diner? Really? Well, basically, they got my plate number, so he knew what the bike was. That's how I knew. That's how I knew they got my plate number. So I said, really? How did you know that? He said, well, we did a little investigation. Okay. I said, but what's the nature of this call? He said, was it you? Can you tell me about what happened? And I said, yeah. I said, she was on the phone, and she forced me all the way over to the other lane. And he said, really? What did you do? And I said, nothing. I let out, I backed off, and I waited. And he said, you waited? I said, yeah, I waited for that bitch to put the phone in her left hand, and I nailed it, and I threw that motherfucker in southbound traffic. I said, I felt she was gonna knock me off my bike at an unsafe lane change. And the only thing I could do to defend myself, to get her attention, was to take the phone out of her hand. So he said, what color is your bike? I said, black. You asked me that earlier. And then he asked me, do you wear a black helmet with a dark shield? I said, yes. He said, does your leather jacket have an orange stripe on the shoulders? I said, yes. He said, I think I got the wrong guy. Have a nice day, and hung up the phone.
Wow.
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 One up for you.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah, because one less casualty, you know, happening out there on the road. Like I said, my daughter a couple of years ago lost her little cousin on 195 to somebody who was texting and driving. But, you know, it still boils down to the same thing. Good for you.
Yeah, well, like, we got Rebel Ruthie. She's out of a Bay 25 in Sacramento. And she has two things she wanted to share here. The sharing the road signs are up and running throughout the state of California, so it pays to harass Caltrans, which John Del Santo, God rest his soul, may he rest in peace, he used to do that. He was Bill and I's guru. He could find out anything for us. He was our computer guy with all the stuff that we, and it was a great loss when he passed, and we appreciate everything he did for us. Now, Ruthie says, I kick the cars with the heel of my boots if they drive over the line. Sometimes I reach for that ball peen hammer on top of my saddlebag and they move over, so.
Nice.
She's here because Fran couldn't make it tonight. I think she was working, but thanks for coming, Ruthie, and you're welcome anytime. Since you know Art and I, and this is Stacy and Nora. Stacy's in.
Hello.
He's in, what, in Rhode Island now?
Well, I sit right on the state line between Rhode Island and Massachusetts, and I'm going to share a little something with you, Phil, that Nora knows this. But the strip of road that runs from Massachusetts to Rhode Island is Interstate 81, and that's where I've grown up my whole life.
But you need to take a picture and send that to me.
Oh, I will.
I'll
do it. I will get that done. Yeah, because, I mean, all up and down this route, it's, you know, 81 north or 81 south, and it goes all the way from Little Compton, Rhode Island, into Fall River, Mass. Good couple of miles, you know, good stretch of road. But where I sit on, my mom lives in Rhode Island, and my place is over the state line in Massachusetts. But
Since you're going to take a picture,
yeah.
Have somebody take a picture of you standing under the sign.
Yeah.
There you go.
And can you?
No. But go ahead.
Can you be appropriately dressed? Since you're sending it to bikers.
Well, she's not going to be naked.
I didn't ask her to be naked. I didn't ask her to be naked.
No, I wasn't meaning it like that, but you said dress appropriately so bikers can see this, and that's why I said she's not going to be naked.
Oh,
I wasn't
my gosh.
Meaning you said that. I just meant in general, you know, she's not going to be half naked or something. God,
I didn't ask her to get naked. I know.
You
okay,
know, and
I didn't say you did.
It's just...
Go ahead.
It's kind of ironic, you know, that I grew up on this stretch of this stretch of road, you know, and it's anybody who, like, I talk to from, you know, let's say the biker community, when they say, you know, where are you located at? When I say, you know, down on Route 81, they're like, huh? I'm like, yeah, that's, you know, that's the legit name for the strip of road that, you know, also has
Art says you should be appropriately undressed.
Oh, God, no, the world ain't ready for all that.
Okay.
We'll do
Photoshop. I'll give you my
Art
body,
is,
and you can put your head to it.
There you go. Art is speaking way too much tonight. I like it better when he's silent.
Oh, Art is a good man. He deserves big hugs. I just realized how quick my foot is.
You guys can, like, Google Route 81. You know, that was one of the first topics of conversation that me and Nora had, you know, back when we first started to chat. Yeah, and, you know, I mean, if you Google it, it'll tell you it's right here on the Rhode Island, Massachusetts line. And, you know, that's my little neck of the woods. This is where I sit. This is home base.
Yeah, for Ruthie.
Now that we just said this.
Hold on a second. For Ruthie, I don't have the video stuff up ready right now. So if you wanna call, or actually she says hold on, she's gotta take a bathroom trip first. Yeah, I usually have that effect on women. I scare the piss out of them.
We're still here, so it doesn't work on everybody.
Speaking of pee. I'm going to share this with you guys strictly because...
You have to pee and you're going to pee with
us? No, because you brought up the bathroom. The other day,
okay.
I was watching the Today Show, and then it boils over into the Kelly Show, Kelly Live. And she had Bryant Gumbel on there as her co-host. And she went to talking about his toilet. When you walk in the bathroom, the lid lifts all by itself. It flushes all by itself. It sprays you down all by itself, and then it blow dries you. She says it does, and the seat is heated. She said it does everything but button up your pants. And I'm thinking to myself, if I had the type of money that Bryant Gumbel had, I would not have a toilet that does all that. To me, I'm like, who came up with this stuff? And the thing is that now you know what all the rich are sitting on: heated, sprinklered, heat system. Lids that go up and down toilet seats, you know.
No, the European started with the, I can't think of the name of it, but it's a toilet that, you know, when you go to the bathroom, it shoots the water up.
That is a bidet,
thank you.
A bidet, yes. And, you know, the heritage that's around this area is it's predominantly Portuguese. And in every good Portuguese home, you've got a toilet. And right on the side of the toilet, you've got the ass washer. You got the bidet. that's just the way we roll out here.
Well, TMI, but thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
Somebody asked me about our audience, so I'm going to tell you right now. Canada, Australia, Russia, New Zealand, Portugal, France, United Kingdom, Poland, United Arab Emirates.
Wow.
Germany, France, the Ukraine, Mexico, the United Kingdom, Latvia,
nice.
Batavia, Australia. I think I said that already.
Yeah.
Poland.
That's
that already. Yeah. First place. Denmark and Brazil. So, yeah, that's
we hear repeats. Now, is the one still listening to us out of China?
No.
Hang on a second. I hope he didn't get caught. He or
no,
she.
He comes in and out all the time. Hang on a second.
Okay.
Hello, Ruthie.
Hi, Rebel Ruthie, Sacramento, California.
Hello, Stacy, sitting on Massachusetts and Rhode Island.
Nora in Chicago.
Wow,
so,
I have.
What's going on in Northern California? How about a quick synopsis?
I'm in Sacramento. I'm in the capital city.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to make the computer, the sound on the computer work.
Well, do me a favor and turn. We can hear you. Just turn down the sound on the computer because we can. There's a 15-second delay, so everything that we
say.
Yeah,
I noticed. Okay.
We're gonna hear it.
It's been a very long time since I've been online, so it's been a very long time since I've been on the radio, so bear with me.
Oh, no worries.
Okay, cool.
But so tell us a little about those things you wrote in the chat. Start with, if you want to start with the...
Which one?
AB-147. But if
okay,
you,
on June 12th. I attended the Senate Transportation and Housing Committee hearing. We had two assembly bills that were being heard in the Senate. The first bill was AB 1047. That's motorcycle-only checkpoint funding. That means you cannot pull motorcycles only over for checkpoint for safety and education, as California Highway Patrol wants to call it. They're called safety checkpoints. But most bikers feel that they're being discriminated against when they're being pulled over. Instead of just pulling everybody over, they're pulling motorcycles over. They're checking your loud pipes. They're checking your exhaust systems. They're checking the colors on your back. They're basically checking to see who you are and what you ride and to harass you. That's called discrimination. So that bill was heard in the Senate Transportation Housing Committee, and it was passed on June 12th at 2:47 p.m. in the afternoon. I was there to hear that one being passed, it's now going to the Senate floor. We brought in, through ABAID of California, we brought in thousands upon thousands of signatures, letterhead. And we have a good support of ABAID of California and the Modified Motorcycle Association, as well as the Outriders MA, who also sent in letters. The next bill that was heard that was on consent was AB 1890, which is a transponder bill. That's the new bill for going through the tollway booth on where you should put the transponder or the sticker on your motorcycle to go through the toll booth. On a motorcycle, you can have the transponder since you have handlebars, you don't have a rear-view mirror. We don't call the mirrors on the side rear-view mirrors like you do in the car where you can hang a transponder. So you can put a transponder in your purse. You can put it on the handlebars. You could place it any place on your motorcycle. That bill also, which was on consent, was also passed in the Senate Transportation Housing Committee, and that's going to the Senate floor. Also, while I was there at the Senate hearing, I was given by our lobbyist, Jim Lombardo. He's a lobbyist for ABAID of California. He brought to my attention another assembly bill that's not for motorcycles. However, we did have a bill authored by Dr. Linda Halderman, which is Assembly Bill 1535. That was for the riding of motorcycles also on the bottom of the high occupancy lanes, a.k.a. diamond lanes. It was also supposed to say where it says 2 to 3 people in car, depending on the county you live in, either two or more people can drive in this lane or 3 people can drive in this lane. It's also supposed to say motorcycles also. Caltrans took those signs down, I guess, in the 1990s. The signs have been put away. Caltrans is against was against the bill, so it did not pass. However, this new bill that's coming up, which is Assembly Bill 2405, it also passed the Senate Transportation and Housing Committee, and it's going to the Senate floor. That's for the new hybrid cars. They wanted to say on the signs, hybrid, electric, and gas. And since if that passes, we also wanted to say motorcycles on the bottom. And what I'm hoping in the near future is that we can start getting out more letter writing campaigns so that if this bill does go through, because the hybrid people have 9 supporters, 4 of them, 1 against, we only have our own biker community for us. We also wanted to say motorcycles only, signs out again, because right now Caltrans has the signs. I'm sorry if I'm hollering. Caltrans has the signs that say motorcycles only, but to dish out, just to go out and put the signs up, so they won't.
Yeah, they won't do it unless they got. They're doing something out there as it is, right?
Exactly. So those are 3 of the bills that I was there for this past week, and I'm on Facebook, which you already know. I'm on Facebook, and I post all this information. I have a Abate Local 25 website that anybody can join. It's on Facebook. Just look for Abate of California Local 25. It's all kinds of information about the laws that are going on in California, need to do, and anybody in California locally is more than welcome to come to our meetings. And our next meeting is this Thursday at 7 o'clock at Denny's Restaurant on Auburn and Watt Avenue.
Didn't Schwarzenegger sign a bill that put those, they were supposed to put those signs back up before he left office?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I've only been in this state for a year. I've only been in California for a year. I've worked in other states like Florida and California as an advocate for bikers. Who does what, where, and how here in California. I do know that I have been in contact a lot with Caltrans over the past couple months, 1 for the signs and 2 signs here. In May, we were hoping for the whole month that it would show motorcycles are everywhere, please be aware, look twice, save a life, and they only did it for 3 days. Now they're back up again.
Well, I saw it. It was up the other day.
Now they're back up again. Some of us have complained to Caltrans. I posted it online, the website for Caltrans, and complained that we've put all this money in, Abate paid for the signs to be up, and it was only up for the 3 days, and why isn't it up all the time? So now, as of yesterday, I was told here in Northern California, the Amber Alert signs have been back up again.
Yeah, for the last couple.
Not Amber Alert, but motorcycle alert signs.
Right, I've seen it for the last 3 days coming from San Diego, coming north.
I've been getting all kinds of emails through Abate and MMA and a bunch of the clubs telling me that the signs are up in Southern California, where, and the different areas like Lancaster, San Diego, Long Beach, Los Angeles, all those areas, and what highways were showing them.
Right. And then, so what's this program you guys are going to be talking about with the U.S. Defenders? Because I know a couple of things, not sure if it's the same thing.
Okay, the U.S. Defenders program, there's a website I can direct you to. It's probably usdefenders.org. I'd have to look it up at the moment. But Coalition of Independent Riders is the subunit of U.S. Defenders. U.S. Defenders program is out of Texas. It's for all motorcycle rides, all motorcycle organizations. You don't have to belong to a club. Well, for U.S. Defenders, you have to be a patch holder. So I'm having the national commander of Coalition of Independent Riders come and speak at our meeting on Thursday, because ABATE was the first independent organization to join the U.S. Defenders.
Mm-hmm.
Coalition of Independent Writers, as an independent organization, subunit of U.S. Defenders, our goal is to promote call to actions for any laws that are going on to put together, to join in the rally. ABATE put on a really big rally in January here at the state capitol, which I'm sure you probably know of. We put on a really big rally, and we do our own call to action. And so what we want, what CORE wants, is if you're a member of CORE as an independent writer, you will do four of your own, you will send four times a year letters to your local senators, assembly person, and to the state in support of or non-support of a bill for or against motorcycle rights.
Uh-huh.
That's all CORE is asking of independent writers, whereas the U.S. Defenders gets more into the researching and the statistics of motorcycle accidents, what's going on. They put out the call to action. They
uh-huh.
put out the original call to action. So they're a national organization, U.S. Defenders, and it's under U.S. Defenders program. Let me look it up right now. I don't want to wipe you out of my computer here.
You can get to it at usdefenders.org. I already put it up in the chat.
Can you? Okay. All right.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. If you go there, it gives a big description of what it is. If you go to ABATE Local 25, I also have that on the ABATE Local 25 website on Facebook. Like I said, that's a public website. Anybody can join it. It's just a page. Anybody can join it. If anybody has any questions, you can get on. You can email me questions, or you can put the questions on the board and have other members give you an answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm gonna copy that for you right now in the chat room. Email address.
We're having Lori Adams come to speak in our meeting. I also am getting with local insurance brokers in the area, trying to get better insurance quotes, better deals for ABATE members, so that I'm not originally from California, and everything here is really expensive that I've noticed. So I'm trying to get with different brokers and have insurance brokers come to our meeting and give us a good deal. I found one already, and he's going to be speaking at our meeting as well.
His name isn't Mac, is it?
Pardon?
His name isn't Mac.
His name isn't Mac Henderson from Bolt. No.
Okay.
His name is Alex Rue Insurance.
Okay.
And he will be coming to our meeting. And I also will have... I'm hoping on Thunder Roads Magazine being there and doing an article about ABATE and what ABATE is, as well as they're always talking about what MMA is about, which I am a member of both, by the way. So there, I've invited Thunder Roads Magazine to our meeting as well. I also have a special guest whose name I'm not at liberty to say, who might be coming to our meeting. So in case he doesn't show up, then there, you know, nobody knew. But
right.
Now everybody's going to want to know. But, I have an organization, a charitable organization, a woman who works with abused animals and wants to know if our organization wants to get involved and do a car wash and other things. So she's going to come and speak also.
Okay. That's there's a lot of people that are involved in that right now because, like I say, if you're going to go buy a dog at the store, you know, why? You better go look at the pound and see which dog you're going to kill first.
Yeah, exactly. We rescued our dog. Ours is a rescue dog. She was being tortured and tormented, and we took her, and she's been ours for a year now. So I'm really behind that a lot. My sister owns a company in Southeast Asia, where they save animals and they adopt them out overseas.
Uh-huh.
So that dog walking the street is not going to be on a teriyaki stick later on. The dog is going to be shipped to a good home someplace else.
Good.
So I'm all for that. And whatever we can do as a biker community to work with other organizations gets us out there and gets people noticing who we are and what we do, and that we're not just bikers on our motorcycles out there to cause trouble. We're not out there to give a bad image of this club against that club, that we're actually fighting for our own rights and that we work within the community.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And I'm here to take Fran's place because she had something else to do today.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually Fran's, she's either working or she I send her a reminder, but she's very good
okay.
about that. I have to call
okay.
her and tell her for sending you our way.
Well, now you have to send me a reminder because last time I couldn't get the computer to work to get on the show.
Okay,
so
I can do
now
that.
You send me a reminder as well, and if I have any news, any update, I won't talk about showing my boobies like I just heard a little while ago. because I could tell stories out of school if you want.
Crowd.
Because I've been a biker for 50 years now, so I could tell all those stories too.
Don't be afraid. Guys, this is a rough crowd.
This is a rough crowd. Oh, I should be shy and quiet, like my normal self.
But yeah.
I'm the one who stirs up trouble within the state of California lately. So hey, bear with me.
Don't worry
it's
about
okay.
it. I'm the guy who stirs up trouble down south. So don't worry. But I want you guys to hold on for a second. I gotta take care of something real quick. Somebody's
okay.
trying to at the door here. And they're screwing with the server, so I'll be right back. I'm going to play this song. This song is called by Charlie Baker, and it's called Ride. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Charlie Baker, one of my Marine buddies. You can check out his stuff at bakersongs.com. But
that's an awesome song.
Yeah, I liked it. That was cool.
Hey, Phil. Phil.
Yes.
I have a request.
Yes.
I think at the end of the show you should like take us out with Bob Seger's Fire Lake. Just you know, a hint.
No, I already had something planned for that.
Oh. God, can't you do a girl a favor? Do I have to wear a picture or something?
Can you promise her for Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay, he'll do it for you Thursday. See, we win. Yay.
Damn.
I already got it set up. But so back to Ruthie. What?
I'm here.
Do you two have any questions for Ruthie?
No, man. I mean, it sounds like she's doing fantastic work. So, you know, I mean, continue doing what you're doing.
Yeah, I agree with Stacey. An awesome group. I was in the Bay here in, the south suburbs of Chicago for a long time. So I understand, you know, what you're doing and everything else.
Stacy, which one? I used to watch the South Suburban A-Bait, and I was Stacy and Ed Chicago A-Bait.
Really? Wow.
I wrote the Motorcycle Safety and Awareness Program.
No kidding.
That's awesome. I know when I was, I had to go to Boston a couple of times last week, and they have all the electrical signs over 93, which is the main interstate that goes through the heart of Boston. And they kept flashing motorcycles basically are everywhere. I used caution. And it was even in, like, the little toll booths and stuff. And I was amazed, you know, that they were actually doing that. But they did have the caution signs going for motorcyclists.
That's cool. It should be everywhere.
Yeah,
exactly.
But
see,
yeah,
I heard
made
a comment
haven't
about
seen
Ruth,
it around here.
Ruthie's hell on wheels.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, see, Art sometimes is the silent majority. He just sits in the background, and when he decides to call in, it's a rare treat.
Yeah, Art's just a big teddy bear, so sending big hugs always to Art.
Well, until I got on the show, until I got online, I had no idea I knew any of you.
Really? We know who you are. I knew who you are as soon as I seen your name.
Yeah, but I didn't know who the rest of you were.
Yeah. Well, did you find me? I'm the guy sitting under the flag.
He's a smart ass. You could just, like, you know, overlook that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, you said you saw me earlier on a page, and I said, and I'm telling you, I'm the guy sitting on the black motorcycle under the flag. That looks like it's upside down.
Okay, let me go to, then I have to go back into Facebook to do that.
Got it. Somewhere
but
you can look later.
Look later. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
I have a bunch of windows open. I'm always doing something on there.
Yeah,
you know
that's why I'm looking.
Cool.
That I'm not
you
just a good-looking guy. I'm smart, too.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
He's tooting his own horn tonight, ladies.
Well, I should
but
try
you know
the show more often. What the heck?
You know what's really cool is the fact, too, that you're a female. You're a female out there, you know, trying to do things for, you know, motorcycle safety, et cetera. And, you know, usually the common public associates a motorcycle with the male gender. But, you know, looking at it from a female perspective, it's kind of cool that you're doing all the things that you're doing.
Well, I do it for a reason. I'm a trauma nurse practitioner.
Yeah.
And I've seen too many of my friends get killed, so I did 17 years of research on motorcycle accidents, and I don't wear a helmet. Well, I have to in California. I don't believe in wearing a helmet, and I have my reasons behind that because of the statistics and what it did to me. And being a female, yes, I've had a lot of male counterparts being against me because motorcycling at one time was only a man's vehicle or sport or whatever. But
right.
There have been a lot of women back to the 1920s, the meter maids, back to the 1920s who are 80 years old now still riding.
Right.
But I guess they weren't as vocal. They weren't as vocal as myself and a lot of other women who are nowadays who are vocal and into their own rights and into working for rights.
Yeah, because nowadays more and more women are riding. You know,
well,
I see
at least
on, like, the East Coast over here, I see just as many females on bikes as I do males, and that's Harleys, Hondas, Kawasaki's, Suzuki's, you know, clear across the board, depending on, you know, what your cup of Joe is.
Well,
so,
not to change the subject, but the comparison there also is the fact that everybody thinks just veterans are men.
Exactly.
No, because
exactly.
My daughter's in the United States Army, so I know better.
Well,
so.
Yeah, but you're one of the exceptions. A lot of people think it's just men. It's like Bill and I say, if you go to the VA and you're walking up to the door and there's four or five guys sitting on the wheelchair, don't put your head down and walk past them. Stop and shake their
right.
hand, say hello. Because they're there. There's nobody. If they're sitting outside like that, there's nobody there to come to see them. And when we go back, like Bill and I always do, we take a few strippers and stuff there, and then when we go back, they don't ask when we're coming back. They want to know we're bringing the girls back.
Yeah. I've never seen any male strippers at VA. Hold on. I go to VA often. Where's the male strippers?
No, not male strippers. But if you want,
veterans, okay?
I'm sure I can get you a couple of male strippers to show up wherever you'd like, but
I don't know. You know, I mean, there's something like in my eyes. You think female stripper? Okay, that can be a classy act. You know, depending on what you're doing. But there's something about the whole personification of male stripper that just kind of like. Makes me go, ew.
Yeah, I prefer the tight jeans. I prefer a guy in tight jeans with a bare chest, like the construction workers with a bare chest and tight jeans, versus just standing there naked playing with his willy.
Yeah, exactly. I think you know, for the men, they look better with their clothes on. That's just me. Sorry, Phil.
No worries. I happen to know a bunch of iron workers that could help you out there, too.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Well, no, you guys, I've been an iron worker for the last 30-something years.
Yeah, you do the same stuff my dad used to do, I believe. You build nuclear subs, right?
I work on all that shit.
Yeah, because the same company.
The best fun I have is when they pull me over and they see that DOD ID card, and I tell them, "Oh, here, swipe this too." So when they find out that I have a top secret clearance, and then they come back and ask me what I do, I tell them I can't tell them.
Yeah, my dad, I believe, worked for the same company you did, but it's closed up. It closed up back in the 70s.
So, let's see. Art's talking about skinny jeans. Ruthie says, yeah. Then she says, tight ass. And then Art says, tight butter, tight ass.
Same thing. Hold on.
Wait a minute.
I'm holding the phone with one hand and typing with one finger on the other hand.
Yeah, I don't think any man in skinny jeans looks good. I think a man in some nice Levi's, well fitted, not too tight, but you know, leave some room for the imagination. That's my melting point. You know, all these skinny jeans with these men running around in them, they look a little bit, you know, a little bit fruity. Put that. Any man that's wearing skin tight teal colored jeans, there's something wrong with that in my eyes. I don't know.
Oh, but
I
love it.
All I wear
oh, really?
Is
Levi's. I love it.
Oh,
I'd rather see them in the jeans than walking around naked.
Yeah, well.
Oh, with their
too,
riding boots on too. They have to have their riding boots on too. Okay, and maybe a leather vest, touching their bare naked chest. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a biker thing. What do I know?
You know what, Phil? This is a first. Usually, we're talking about all the beautiful women you and Bill surround yourself with at all these events and everything else, and now we've like geared a little bit towards the right, talking about the men.
Be a hater. God bless this country.
Yeah. And
that's
here I
sure.
thought the show was all about bikers' rights.
It is. Well, this is just the last part of the show. It kind of goes a different direction, and everybody. I mean, we get anywhere from 10 to 15,000 hits the next day on the archive. So people are, it's like five people listening and five people talk five people and five people, you know. It's like right now, just this month, we're gonna go over 1 million hits.
Because I saw something about Bolt when I first got on the computer, and I'm like, well, I don't know if I want to talk about it. Although Mark Temple and Matt Henderson are friends of mine.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get into biker politics in that sense online.
No, I usually let people know when we're going to do that ahead of time, because a lot of people have their opinion. And basically this show is, you can call up and talk about anything you want. I'll give you the time. And there's no holds bar here. If someone pisses you off and you want to talk to them, give me the number.
Oh, my God.
And I'll call them and we'll both talk to them.
No, actually, they don't piss me off. Actually, I had lunch one day with Mark Temple, and I learned an awful lot about bikers of a lesser tolerance, which was simply amazing.
Which I happen to be a member of.
Okay, cool. But a lot of times, several members that I've talked to, I can't get them to shut up.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a Bolt thing or it's a person thing.
It all coincides. We all have our quirks.
Yeah. God, there must be somebody on here who's later going to say, Rebel Ruthie was online shooting her mouth off again. Oh, no.
Mom, don't worry about it. They know. They know if you come on my show, you can say anything you want. There's no holds barred here.
Cool, because online there is. So.
I don't feel you've been shooting off your mouth at all, because, you know, I live on the East Coast, and what goes on the West Coast is a little bit different than the East Coast. And, you know, to hear you say all the things you said when you first came on the show about, you know, you're trying to make a difference out there, that's, you know, information. That's informative. You've now reached clear across the United States.
It's like this, Stacey, like I always
you know?
Say. What happens in Australia is going to happen in Canada. What stops them from doing all that shit here in the United States is what we have left of the Bill of Rights, But whatever happens on the East Coast is going to happen on the West Coast. You know, it's like that thing in Boston with the about the exhaust. They brought the guy out here from Boston with that Pavley broad to write that bill. So,
oh, my God.
So 2013, we're all going to have to be compliant after 2013. Anybody before is grandfathered in now, but these yahoos are going to grab all these fucking little machines that they don't know how to operate, and they're going to open Pandora's box because the state.
Are you getting boxed with inspections?
We're talking about Senator Pavley, who would not shut up at the Senate Transportation and Hearing Committee. Oh, my God. She was awful. I wrote all about it online. She would not shut up about motorcycles, that she knows nothing about motorcycles. And she does not understand why bikers feel they are being discriminated against.
Yeah, well, she needs, you know, I can tell you a quick story about Anaheim the other night at the COC, the last meeting they had where Anaheim PD just jammed everybody up coming out of there for stupid shit. Guy had a brand new bike with stock exhaust, and they gave him a ticket for loud exhaust.
That's insane.
Just to screw with him. That was Bernie that was on the show. That was Bernie.
Oh yeah, how is he doing?
Doing good. He's hooked up. I hooked him up with some people that are. We're doing some things on the side. As soon as I can make the announcement, I will. But
okay.
Ball's
well,
rolling.
Do me a favor. Next time you talk to him, tell him I say hi.
Okay.
Phil, are you guys getting nailed with emissions testing? Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, but that's what she tried to do. That's what she tried to do that too. She tried to make it where we had to smog our bikes.
Right.
Well, I know. I mean, everybody over here, it's what we call an inspection sticker, and you take your car, vehicle, et cetera, and you pick. It could be
you pay them to do that, right?
Yeah. This time it was $35 for the next two years, but, you know, they check your tires, they check your lights, your blinkers. They stick a thing on the back of your exhaust pipe, and if you're below a certain level, you're going
to
get a rejection sticker put on your car, and you've got 7 days to change your exhaust. And that's
right.
Really
wow.
What it boils down to is exhaust emissions. It's not so much about your bald tires or you don't get a blinker that works. But,
I'm going to tell you right now, every fucking guy that rides a motorcycle that's on the police force in my town rides with all the same shit that we do. They got shotgun pipes, they wear beanie helmets, they wear all kinds of shit, but that prick will pull you over and give you a fucking ticket.
I know.
What a hypocrite.
This town spent $93,000 to fight me over a helmet ticket. $93,000, but the fucking state's broke. And I won the case.
Unbelievable.
Well, good for you. But you're a fighter, Phil. You know what I mean? It's like it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. I mean, that's why Bill always sits there and says, you both are two different people. You go at things one way, he goes at things another, which is
that's why people, when they meet me, they call me a loose cannon.
It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's just the way how you are as a person, okay? And everybody is different on how they voice where they stand, if that makes sense, or how they do things. So it's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, but it goes back to what I tell you all the time, Nora. You deserve what you tolerate.
Exactly.
Yep. Absolutely.
And don't worry about what you say online, Ruthie, because this show, everyone knows that this show is no holds barred. You can talk, you can swear, whatever makes you happy.
I can't type swear, but I can curse on the radio. They like put me in some kind of, I don't know.
No, I showed you how to do that.
I know.
Got to type a letter, period, type a letter. See, I can do it right now.
No, I know, like I said, but it's just ridiculous.
You can't say swear words on here? You can't type in swear words?
Not in a full word.
Don't let you.
No,
let me explain something to you ladies, okay? You can do it. All you got to do is type the first letter, put a period. Second letter, put a period, and the swear word will come out. It's You watch.
No,
there
I know.
See, there you go. Ruthie. Ruthie figured it out. All right, yep. That's all you got to do.
Well, see, we used to be able to do that freely. And remember, Stacey, ever since that night when that one person was having an issue with us cussing and, you know, farting around the way that we were on the other show, we've been censored ever since. It's crazy.
So what did Pavly say? To get back to what you were saying about Pavly.
Oh, Pavly? Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't going to talk. I just want to know first, is this an international radio station?
Yes.
Like, her
45 countries.
Phil,
okay.
why don't you tell Ruth all the countries that this radio station is?
Well, no, he repeats them.
Well, never mind. Don't repeat it. What I was talking about, Pavly, was during the... AB 1047, the bill for motorcycle checkpoint only funding, that the bill, by the way, was amended on May 30th to state it didn't matter where the funding came from. It wasn't just government funding, but no grants or no funding were allowed to be motorcycle only checkpoints. They weren't allowed to take any, there was to be no funding for motorcycle only checkpoints. That was amended on May 30th of this year. So Pavly, when they were discussing the bill, Senator Mark DeSaulnier, he's the chairman of the Senate Transportation Housing Committee, which I call the THC of the Senate, because that's what it's short for. Anyways, she would not shut up, and all she kept going over and over again was that, why do bikers feel they're being discriminated against? That was one thing. She just wouldn't shut up, and I was like, excuse me? And then she was talking about she doesn't know anything about motorcycles. And then she went to discuss about, well, you know, motorcycle pipes are really loud, and their exhaust systems when they're running their bikes are really smelly, and the exhaust goes into the air, not like half the broken-down cars on the road, mind you. But,
or a diesel-driven Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah.
My motorcycle runs cleaner than most cars.
Well, mine runs clean now. I have new pipes. She just went on and on. Everything she was picking apart, it was like bikers think they're being discriminated against. Why would they think it? Well, when you're pulling over patch holders, and you're only pulling over patch holders, yes, that's discrimination. Now when you start pulling over other motorcyclists, whether they're cafe racers, I want to say crotch rockets, that's not nice. When they're pulling over cafe racers only, they're pulling over Goldwings only, they're pulling over Harleys only, now you're discriminating against the type of motorcycle somebody's riding. When you should be pulling, if you're going to pull over one, you're going to pull over them all. However, if you're going to pull over a motorcycle, then you need to start pulling over tractor trailers, cars, hybrids, you name it. If it's on the road, you have one lane, you bring everybody in. You don't just do one person. And she doesn't understand that. She doesn't understand that you can't do a motorcycle safety and education speak to a biker who's on his way to work and going to get deducted 15 minutes of pay because an officer wants to stand there and give you a lecture on motorcycle safety. And in August 30th of last year, I attended the Highway Patrol meeting, which was about the California Motorcycle Safety Program. They had the Motorcycle Rider Foundation there. They had the Motorcycle Safety Program there. They had the local Motorcycle Safety Program, the American Motorcycle Association. They had motorcycle organizations from all over the country at this meeting talking about what needs to be done and statistics that are on the highway. So Pavly wasn't at that meeting. However, there was the head of the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department, Los Angeles County Highway Patrol, speaking about how they did checkpoints on the back road that goes to Palos Verdes, up in the little hills there near San Pedro area.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
There's a back road, Highway 1 or something. 101.
Yeah.
It's is a back road that goes right up Pacifica Highway or something. Anyways, they were talking. He got up to speak saying that they pulled like 5 cars over and 6 motorcycles over. So he says, well, we're not discriminating. We pulled 5 bikes over and 6 motorcycles over and gave them a lesson in motorcycle safety and education. Now, why is that? The speed limit's like 20 over there. I've been there many times. So the speed limit down in that area is like 20 miles per hour. Why do you need to pull somebody over and do a motorcycle safety and education check?
It's just like if you're riding, now, because of the Sons of Anarchy, okay, I've had a black diner since they first made diners. I never joined that club to be like the guys on TV. I had that bike
I know.
Came out. But if you're on that kind of a bike right now, down here in Oceanside, get ready to spend a half hour to 45 minutes answering questions.
And did you see my poster? I sent it to you in a little email thing, in one of these little chat things. Harley-Davidson, I don't know if it's just up here or all of California or Harley-Davidson period, is now going to be making a line of Sons of Anarchy motorcycles.
Here's what's going to happen with that, Ruthie. Bartels is the only one going to do it right now. And if it picks up with Bartels, because Bartels has ties with Kurt Sutter, if it picks up with Bartels, they'll go behind that.
So it's a Kurt Sutter thing, not a all Harley-Davidson thing then? Because that show is taped up here near Tracy. The show is taped up here. At the
I've been to the tapings.
Oh, okay,
And I'm also on the cutting room floor, but that's another story.
Oh, are you one of the guys with the green bandanas in the back room?
No. Trust me.
No, okay, cool.
No, you need to go look at my blog.
Okay.
I sent you the info. You need to go look at my blog. And now, Bay 11, Dan says that Pavley's in a tough race to keep her Senate seat after the redistricting.
What did he say?
Dan from Bay 11. Pavley's in a tough race to keep her Senate seat after the redistricting.
Oh, right. Well, I also posted months ago the redistricting. I have maps of the redistricts here in California. I forgot where I got it, repeal machine or... No, I got it off the California website. Somebody told me about it. I think Matt Henderson or Bobby Tobaldo told me about the redistricting.
Bobby was on the show last week.
Oh, okay. I know Bobby. I know him from around here. Anyways, actually, I learned about U.S. Defenders from Bobby last year. Yeah. So, he told me about the redistricting, and I went online and I posted the redistricts. However, after talking to a lot of people up here about Senator Pavley, we're trying to get her out of office now, trying to get people more aware of who's running against her to get her out of office. She's not terming out, so we need people to start campaigning for her opponents, like now.
Well, whatever you need to do is send me that to the blog, because for this month, I had just sent you what the hits were. We're at anywhere the internet goes, we go.
Okay, so what I'll do is you sent me your email, I'll send direct. The blog, just write it at home. I wasn't even reading that stuff. Hold on. I have to copy paste it. Okay.
Yeah.
So what I'll do is, you just want me to post information on there?
No, you can send it to me in email and I'll post it.
Oh, okay. Okay, I got your, I have you down as soon as I typed in your name, your email address, it came up in my email. I was like, whoa, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay,
I figured you'd figure it out.
Eventually, yeah. I'm like, I don't know who this person is, and it keeps showing me something. I look to the right, and it says something about screwdriver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a long story behind that, but there was a...
Yeah, sniper, pipe welder, iron worker, screwdriver. Okay.
Yeah, there was a... It was given to me by Bill. Humbly given to me by Bill. There was four guys named Philip, so we all got pegged with a name.
I hate to tell you this, but that's my husband's last name, too.
What's that?
So,
what's
yeah,
his last...
we're Phillips. We're all Phillips.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Phillips. Screwdriver.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's a running joke down here with Bill.
Cool. I've never been down there yet. I have yet to ever have worked. I've been as far as Los Alamitos, I think, or Anaheim.
Uh-huh.
Maybe further. Irvine.
Yeah. Irvine's about 60 miles north of me.
Yeah, I used to hang at a place called the Starting Gate in Los Alamitos for a bike night, and I met all the AMA people there 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
All the important ones back then, 10 years ago, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of the stuff we used to get from John, but, so we lost a good guy there, really good guy.
I never met John. I talked to him on the phone once. I met Fran August 30th at the Highway Patrol office up here in Sacramento. She rode up here, and her and I went to lunch together, and we sat and talked, and I called John to tell John to say hi. You know, your old lady's fine, and I'm making sure she eats before she rides home, and that was cool. And then all of a sudden he died. I didn't know he was sick.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. The diabetes got him.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, ladies, it's nice talking to you. You can, I posted where I'm located on Facebook. By all means, friend me if you like.
Okay, sounds good.
Join the A-Beta California. I know it's only California, but I post a lot of the things that are going on. And I can also add you to the A-Beta California group, not just my local group, but the A-Beta California group, and you can see what our legislation is about. Please bear with me, though, because I fight with everybody on there, because I'm very vocal about my beliefs and what goes on. And I brag about my own chapter. We don't call them chapters here. We call them locals. I brag about the good things that we do compared to what everybody else does.
Right.
But please, friend me if you like. Anybody who's listening out there, I'm on A-Beta California Local 25. You can find me. Just type in Rebel Ruthie. And you can, and just don't do a Google on it because you might not like what you see. Okay.
Hey,
but
don't worry about
it.
You can do whatever you can do and say whatever you want here.
Okay, cool. Well, you have a worldwide listening group here. I've been online for 20 years, almost 20 years, I think, spewing from trauma nursing to bikers to legislation. You name it, I've said it.
Uh-huh.
So it's nice talking with y'all. I don't know when your
nice
show ends, so I don't know what else to say.
Oh, well, we got another 7 minutes.
Oh, 7 minutes.
Oh, well, you
oh,
know
well,
what? I'm gonna bitch about something. Can I bitch about something?
You can bitch about whatever
you want. Damn spider bit me in my eyeball a couple of days ago.
Is it a black recluse? No.
I don't know what the hell it was, but I woke up and my eye was swollen like somebody had popped me in the face. And I was cutting trees the day before, trimming like trees on my mother's woods line, and went knocking down branches with saws and everything else. And when I woke up the next day, I thought I got sawdust in my eye. And I said, oh, give it another day, see if it settles down. No, I was at the eye doctor, and I got a spider bite.
Well, what I was going to say was, if you didn't go to the doctor, the first thing to do is wash it out. If you're not allergic to Benadryl, pop a Benadryl, and then contact an ophthalmologist just to make sure, so that you don't tear your cornea, you don't ruin your retina, any part of your eyeball. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's the first place I went was to my eye doctor, and that's when they told me. And they said, I have to go back on Thursday, and they said if it wasn't significantly cleared up that they were going in. And I'm like, wonderful, but it's doing well. The antibiotic is clearing it up. The swelling's gone down and stuff. But, you know, all I've got is visions of me sound asleep in the bed with this fuzzy thing coming across my forehead and biting me. Yeah, it's not the best thing in the world, let me tell you.
Well, I hope you feel better.
Thanks.
I was intrigued by the fuzzy thing running across the top of your head, but that's another story.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
That's not a feather, I don't think.
I mean, you had me at the top of the fuzzy thing, so, you know.
Well, and it's funny because, you know, when I was at the doctor, they said that that was like the third person that had come in and gotten bit by a spider. And now these are the eye doctors, you know, specific eye doctors. And, you know, I was the third person that came in with a spider bite. So I'm wondering if it's like mating season for them or something, and they're just a little bit aggressive. I don't know.
Well, they're out there now, but you're on the other coast, but we've got them over here, too. So,
yeah,
you know, ants, it's bug season now. So
oh, yeah.
Be real careful. And they come in when it's raining. They come
oh,
in
yeah.
from spiders tend to come in from plumbing, so look in your bathtub also. Not only
right.
when you're chipping wood, but like look in your bathtubs, look in your kitchen sinks, look in your bathroom sinks. They, I saw them the other day coming through the air conditioner vent.
Don't play
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
Just,
they come, yeah. They come through different places. Have you
wonderful.
Had a lot of rain out by you?
Yeah, we've had consistent damp weather and rain going on. It's like the summer really hasn't broke yet.
Right.
Tomorrow
not
and the
like
next
here.
Day, we're supposed to get 90-degree days that are going to feel like 100, but come Friday, we got another cold front coming in. Because I'm
right.
like, I'm right on the ocean. You drive every 15 minutes, you run into ocean. You
okay.
know, and things
come here,
happen crazier right on the coast than when you're like up in central portion Massachusetts that's away from any type of water. But it's just, it always seems to be cooler towards here.
What
so,
I was going to say, Ruthie, is you're welcome to come back anytime with any updates, anything you want to talk about, anything that's bothering you.
Okay, send me a reminder for when you have your show. When do you have your show?
I just did. I sent it to your email.
Oh, okay, because is it every night of the week or?
No, it's Tuesdays and Thursdays, and right now it's Tuesdays and Thursdays, but Bill and I we were on a regular radio until Bill, I was kidding Bill one day, and he started talking about overthrowing a foreign country twice, and they told us. So I got a song, we're down to the last 3 minutes. I got a song I'm going to take us out with. This one's by Mike P. It's called Mike P. The Big Homie, and this one's called Bump My Hits. But I like everybody
okay.
to come back Thursday and stick around and enjoy
no,
the song.
I'm sorry. I'll be presenting. I'm present. So this Thursday, I won't.
Okay.
Anybody, just hit me up online, and I'm more than willing to chat.
Okay.
I'm going to sign off now. It's nice talking to you. I'm so glad
nice
that Fran turned me on to you guys. Okay?
Nice talking to you. Take care.
Right, we'll
have
talk
a great
bye-bye.
Night.
Yep. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. All right, this is Mike P's Big Homie. This is called Bone My Hits. Thursday.
Good night, Phil.
Good night.
Good night.
Mike P and Stone Capone. It's that real hood music, man. And this is our single. You know they say bumping our hits on.
Turn it up. Back when always playing my song. Watch the crowd shit, boom, get they creep on. It's that real hood music for the real hood cheese. And the real hood lows rolling on them D's. It's Mike P, baby. I was low with the real G rhyme for the freestyle flow. When I'm up in the club, man, it bump my hips, they bump my. Nobody, that's when I took it up.
Nothing. What's up? Huh? What, what are you going to do Saturday? Well, because I have to go after work, I got to go to Stampede. And that thing. The Dago Peckerwood. And always follows this in Capistrano. Remember where the Chevron we always go to? I told you that bar is in the back over there.
Yeah, that's what makes me want to vomit. Like,